Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. 38 million people watched the Oscar presentation Sunday night as Hollywood patted itself on the back. The audience was down 8% from last year as Americans become more and more detached and disgusted with Hollywood's social and political agenda. The five nominees for Best Picture were Brokeback Mountain, centering on gay cowboys who are married; Capote, centering on the life and work of the gay author Truman Capote; Crash, centering on the evils of racism; Goodnight and Good Luck, centering on political witch hunting back in the McCarthy era; Munich, centering on the killing of Jewish athletes by terrorists at the Olympics. The audience seemed shocked when Crash was named the picture of the year. A couple of times during the evening when Brokeback Mountain was mentioned, it was in the context of love. The movie attempts to lead people to believe that emotional ties between two people that lead to sexual intimacy are equated with love. On the day after the Oscars, New York Times journalist Katie Butler wrote an article titled, "Many Couples Must Negotiate Terms of Brokeback Marriages." She reports, 1 hour into Brokeback Mountain, Amy Jo Remaley began to cry. And not just for the women on screen standing in a doorway in Riverton, Wyoming, watching her husband embrace a man. Amy Jo Remaley says, "When I saw the look in her eyes, I thought, oh yeah, even though I never saw my husband with another man, I knew exactly how that woman would have felt," she said. She's a respiratory therapist in rural Minnesota. On June the 1st, 2000, Ms. Remaley, then 31, discovered her husband's profile on a gay website. The couple stayed up all that night, weeping and talking. Soon afterward, 10 days before she gave birth to her second child, Mrs. Remaley's husband went off to spend a couple of nights with his new boyfriend. "I tried to talk him out of it," she said, "but he left anyway. I was devastated." 3 months later, the couple divorced. Now, Mrs. Remaley is married to a farmer who raises cattle, corn, and soybeans. The Social Organization of Sexuality, a 1990 study, found that 3.9% of American men who had ever been married had had sex with men in the previous 5 years. The lead author, Edward O. Lauman, a sociologist at the University of Chicago, estimated that 2-4% of ever married American women had knowingly or unknowingly been in what are now called mixed orientation marriages. Such marriages are not just artifacts, of the closeted 1950s. And this, I'm sure, was shocking. It was shocking to me when I found out through this article that in the 16th century, Queen Anne of Denmark had 8 children with King James I of England, known not only for the King James Bible, but also for his devotion to male favorites, one of whom he called "my sweet child and wife." Although precise numbers are impossible to come by, 10,000 to 20,000 such wives who are in these so-called mixed orientation marriages, 10 to 20,000 such wives have contacted online support groups, and increasing numbers of them are women in their 20s or 30s. Joe Cord, a clinical social worker in Royal Oak, Michigan, who has counseled hundreds of gay married men, including a minority who stay in their marriages, says that these men genuinely love their wives. But do they really? What is real love? The Bible says in 1 John 5:3, "For this is the love of God, that we should keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." And can you love God without loving your fellow men? Court goes on to say, "Many," he said, "consider themselves heterosexual men with homosexual urges that they hope to confine to private family life. They fall in love with their wives. They have children. These are Court's words. They fall in love. Do you really, quote, fall in love? Obviously, there's an attraction there. But is love just a feeling? Or is love based on actual sacrificing and giving up self so that two people may come together and become one? So he says they fall in love. They have children. They're on a chemical romantic high. And then after about 7 years, the high falls away and their gay identity starts emerging. They don't mean any harm, Court says. But what kind of harm do they create? What kind of heartache, pain, suffering do they create in the wake of their discovering who they really are? Helen Fisher, a research anthropologist at Rutgers University, said in an interview that human partnerships are shaped by three independent neurochemical brain-body systems responsible respectively for sexual attraction, romantic yearning, and long-term attachment. Now, I don't know how Dr. Fisher went about her research and came to that, quote, exact discovery. She goes on to say, quote, once the system is triggered, it's so chemically powerful that you can easily overlook everything about that person that doesn't work for you. She goes on to say, even straight people have fallen in love with people they could never make a life with. But what is really love? Once again, love has to do with a sure foundation, a foundation that requires that certain rules and principles are followed. The peoples of today have now confused emotional detachment and emotional codependency with love. Obviously, if you spend time in intimacy with people, you're going to become emotionally attached to them. But is that real love? Love in which you are willing to lay down your life for the object of your affection? This finding by Fisher is of no comfort to women who lose not only the men they love, but also their faith and how to really try to determine what reality really is. Who does really love and who doesn't love? A lot of women feel they were just used as covers. But Remily says, I know in my heart he loved me. You can't fake the way he used to look at me. Well, I'm not even sure that Mrs. Remily is correct in making that statement. Because people can affect all kinds of love, all kinds of looks, and also, at times, because of emotions, it may seem like they genuinely love the person. But if you are willing to love a person, what are you willing to give up? We're commanded in Ephesians chapter 5 that husbands should love their wives even as Christ loved the church, who loved the church and gave himself for it. Mrs. Rimley says, I had no suspicions whatever. He's very masculine looking. It's not like that he had tuned into a lot of effeminate kind of show tunes. Court, however, said that women should look deeper. Quote, from Court, straight people rarely marry gay people accidentally. Some women find gay men less judgmental and more flexible, while others, he says, unconsciously seek partnerships that are not sexually passionate. So what is the answer to these heartbreaking situations that thousands of women and children find themselves in all over the Western world especially? The wife thinks her husband is heterosexual and so do the children, and then suddenly they discover one day that their lives are based on a lie, on shifting sand. He's not heterosexual, he's a homosexual. And in the name of love, he seeks out a partner of the same sex. Is it love or is it lust? Meaning wrong desire and vile affection. As noted above, Dr. Helen Fisher, an anthropologist at Rutgers University, says that human partnerships are shaped by three independent neurochemical brain-body systems responsible, respectively, for sexual attraction, romantic yearning, and long-term attachment. So she is in effect saying that it's a chemistry thing in the brain. And once the neurotransmitters have been triggered, nothing will stop the person from forming a partnership with a person who triggered the neurotransmitters. But where's love in this? Where is the covenant relationship that men and women entered into when they got married? Pornographers know that hormones that trigger sexual arousal can be stimulated by showing various images of male and female genitals and their activities. But where is love in this shameful manipulation of human sexuality? Some researchers claim that they have isolated a gene that predisposes one towards the gay or the lesbian sexual orientation. But even if such a genetic defect should be true, where is love in a genetic error? Those who are pushing the gay-lesbian agenda would have us believe that since they may be predisposed for some reason toward a homosexual orientation, that the sexual desire they have for members of the same sex is natural and thus should be tolerated. What is the great dimension that is missing in all the research that is being turned out on the issues of sexual orientation today? The fact is that it is all based on a so-called scientific theory or so-called scientific evidence. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we'll get to the real cause. When we look at society today, it is no secret to anyone that marriage and family is crumbling right before our eyes. The very foundation for a harmonious and peaceful society is based on the health of the family. And today we see that families are not in a healthy condition by and large, and 50% or more of marriages are falling apart. And then we hear about all the various pain, suffering, and misery that are being caused by the culture of Brokeback Mountain, where after living together for several years, the wife discovers that her husband is really having an affair with another man, and the children then finally wind up oftentimes with this pain, suffering, misery, and feelings of guilt themselves, wondering what they did wrong when they see their parents divorce. And it's not just in that the marriage union that way. It's also with parents and their children, and in some cases, children with their parents. So we see a great tsunami effect, a tidal wave of tidal waves sweeping across the Western world and leaving behind in its wake pain, suffering, misery, agony, feelings of guilt and despair, and in some cases hopelessness, looking for closure, looking for understanding. What can we do? What is life all about? Well, we have a booklet that will help you understand what God really intended when He created male and female and when He ordained marriage. All you have to do to receive this booklet titled Marriage and Family, The Missing Dimension, is to call our toll-free number. This booklet will help you understand God's purpose for humankind, why we're here on the earth, and also show the purpose for marriage and show what's missing in most of the marriages in the world today. To receive this free booklet, all you have to do is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614, and request the free booklet, Marriage and Family, The Missing Dimension. And now back to World News and Prophecy. So what is the source of the culture of Brokeback Mountain? The social researchers of the day, the so-called scientific researchers of the day, ignore the great moral and spiritual issues of life in their research. They try to account for it in either biological terms or in sociological or psychological terms. But what are the real issues involved? And what about sin? Is it a sin to have an alternative sexual orientation? The Bible outlines for us how sin is conceived in James 1:13 through 16. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. So God, the one who created humankind, he would be guilty of evil if he tempted humankind. And so if he intended that man have relationships with man in the sexual sense, or women with women in the sexual sense, it seems there would be some instruction in the Bible to that effect. On the other hand, the Bible forbids such relationships. So God is not the one who, on the one hand, says, don't do it, and then turn around and say, okay, it's all right to do it if you love the other person. Then we get into the question of what is love. So James writes, let no one say, when I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Lust means wrong desire, craving, yearning for something that oftentimes is forbidden. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. And James says, do not err, my beloved brethren. This is the way it happens. And Paul writes in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And even when one points out the facts that or the fact that homosexual behavior is condemned in the Bible, they try to explain away the scriptures in the name of love and tolerance. We hear such things as Jesus companied with sinners and publicans and condemned the Pharisees. And so he did. Jesus taught us to love everyone, and he did. But Jesus never taught anyone to love sin. We're back to the old saying, love the sinner and hate the sin. But those who push the gay agenda want to convince the world that homosexuality is not a sin. Thus, they try to focus on loving all peoples while ignoring their sins. The sins of the two gay lovers in Brokeback Mountain is clearly delineated by the seventh commandment in the Ten Commandments. It simply states, you shall not commit adultery. All sexual relations out of marriage are forbidden by this one simple, immutable, spiritual commandment. Paul writes in Romans 7:14 that the law is spiritual. He writes in Romans 7:10 through 12 that the law is good, holy, and just. What a different world it would be if everyone started obeying that simple commandment, the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. But there are more profound and deeper fundamental issues in the Broke Mountain affair than adultery. But there are more profound and deeper fundamental issues involved in the Broke Mountain affair than adultery. We must go back and ask the most fundamental question of all questions. Does God exist? And a corollary to that question is God our Creator? Or are we the product of some long evolutionary process? Even if human beings develop from some long-term evolutionary process, one of the great laws of biogenesis states that kind begets kind. And nature dictates that male and female must come together in sexual coitus in order to engender a new life. So even nature teaches us that the very survival of the human species, if one wants to use scientific terminology, so-called, teaches us that male and female intimacy are necessary for the survival of humankind. Furthermore, even the research of psychologists and sociologists show us that humans who are not socialized by loving parents are far more susceptible to becoming social misfits in just about every category you want to name. So even nature teaches us that we are best nurtured in a family setting. And none of us would be here unless a male and female produced the sperm and the ovum that allowed us to be conceived. Oh yes, I know about in vitro fertilization. It's now available to any female who wants to have a baby. But that doesn't do away with male and female. Now back to the fundamental question of how we came to be. If God exists and He is our Creator, why did he create humankind in the first place? That leads us to one of the most fundamental questions of the ages. Who is God? What is God? And what is his purpose? And corollary to this question, or these questions, are the questions, who is man? What is man? What is his purpose? God is our loving Father and Creator, and his purpose is to bring sons and daughters to glory in his family. Yes, those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, and we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Yes, God is bringing many sons to glory in his family. Man was created in the image of God, that is, in form and shape, along with certain mental faculties that enable him to reason and think in the abstract about the great issues of life. Do you think that chimpanzees or any other animal ever thinks about immortality, thinks about life after death? Only human beings, I believe, think about life after death, and it's very difficult for any human being to imagine not being alive, even though they know that they're going to die. They yet think that there is life after death. But we don't have an immortal soul. The only way that you're going to have life eternal is through having the Spirit of God enter into your being. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Romans 3 and Romans 8, verse 16. Man was not created of the same essence as God. God is spirit. Man is mortal, made from the dust of the earth, subject to sin and death. Before God created humans, he created the angelic realm to help him bring sons and daughters into his family. And one of the greatest archangels rebelled and became Satan the devil. Satan the devil is the author of sin and death. He's a liar and a murderer. He wants to see humanity destroyed. He wants to see you destroyed. He's a great deceiver. So when all is said and done, Satan is the author of the Brokeback Mountain tragedies of this world, a so-called gay culture that preaches love and tolerance but leaves in its wake a tsunami of pain, misery, and suffering that wounds the spirit and breaks the heart of its innocent victims. Yet very few people have the courage to stand up and say that this is leading us down a path that we should not trod. It doesn't take a great deal of discernment to see that if the Brokeback Mountain culture continues to flourish, the family structure will be under more and more stress. It will continue to fracture and break. Those who push the Brokeback Mountain culture will cry out for tolerance and understanding. They want you to love them and their sin. Satan would love that as well. We have already noted the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery, but does the Bible have anything to say specifically about the Brokeback Mountain culture? From the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, to the teachings of Jesus and Paul, God instructs us that marriage and sexual relations should only be conducted between men and women. When God instituted the marriage covenant, he instructed Adam and Eve, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name given. And Adam called all the cattle by name and the beast of the field, but there was no helpmeet found for Adam. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. In Leviticus 18, God inspires Moses to write several precepts concerning sexual activities. In these instructions we find, Leviticus 18:22, you shall not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. It is against what God created and what he instructed of a man leaving his father and mother and cleaving to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. Not man with man, not woman with woman, but a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. One person writing, trying to reason around this scripture, states that these were just instructions on holiness and that these no longer apply. How could a person come to such a conclusion? If what God ordained and purposed from the beginning, that is, to bring sons and daughters into His holy family, how would these instructions no longer apply? God commands us to be holy as He is holy. Some say Jesus never taught that homosexuality is a sin. This kind of statement reflects a gross misunderstanding of Jesus, who He is, and what He taught. Jesus is the Word of God, according to John 1:1. And He said in John 6:63, "The words I speak, they are spirit, and they are life." He also said that He came not to destroy the law, but to destroy it, and that whosoever would remove one jot or tittle from it would be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Now we come to the most dramatic teaching of all concerning whether or not we should embrace the Brokeback Mountain culture. We find in Romans chapter 1, where that Paul talks about how people used to know God and they forgot God, and He gave them over to a reprobate mind because they forgot Him. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their own lust. Notice burned, to set on fire, to be kindled in their own lust. Eager desire, lust, appetite. It can be used in a good or bad sense. In this sense, it's a bad sense. They burned in their lust toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of that error which was fitting. Paul then goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind are going to inherit the kingdom of God." God tells us clearly to reject the culture of Brokeback Mountain and to live on His holy hill. You can find out those who will live on His holy hill by reading Psalm 15. And be sure to be tuned to this same station at this time next week for World News and Prophecy. You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on this program, you may call our toll-free number. We have offered Marriage and Family, The Missing Dimension. This booklet will help you to understand the culture that you should embrace and how you should view marriage and family. Also, identify what is really missing in marriage and family in today's world. To receive this free booklet, all you have to do is call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. 5614. And until next time, this is Donald Ward for World News and Prophecy.